This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, coming up at 9 o'clock, Drab is going to have to pay the piper. He's going to have to kiss the toilet because he said if the Browns allow the Commanders to score 30 points and the Commanders win, he would kiss the toilet. Unsolicited. I mean, it came to that. He first wanted to kiss EB's toes.
Yeah, the negotiations
happened. He brought it up.
He just wants to kiss me.
A little update. Roger told me about 15 minutes ago that he was working on one.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
And I told him that I'm a team player. I told him to use the handicap stall.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay. You are a team player.
Yes.
This is
anything
true
for the bit.
So that's coming up.
Add Roger to the list.
Yeah.
That's coming up at 9 o'clock. We're going to try and do an Instagram live. Sports Junkies Radio. Give us a follow on Instagram. But right now, time for our colleague check-in. Host of the Craig Hoffman Show on the Team 980, it is our pal Craig Hoffman. What's up, C-Hoff?
No easy transition on that one,
yeah,
huh?
We got to tease it. It's a good bit.
You would never do something so sophomoric on your program. I know this.
Not quite that sophomoric. I leave that to you guys in the mornings. We do some pretty dumb stuff, though. So there's, we try to get our fix in, but
sure,
we typically leave it out of the restroom, especially at work.
Yeah. Well, what's dumb is betting that the Commanders aren't to score 30.
Right, because that's what they do. That's basically what they do now. They just go out and roll the ball out and score 30 points every week.
It's actually remarkable. I mean, I'm starting to get used to it, Craig, to be honest with you.
It's wild, especially considering how much bad offense that we've all covered in the last decade. I've been here since 2015, and like mostly offensively, it's been terrible. Even some of the quote unquote good years with Jay and Kirk, where they got rolling a little bit, like it was stretches where they got going. And obviously, we could look back in a couple of weeks, and this could be a stretch, but this is the best offense I've covered. Like, it's not even remotely close in terms of how detailed up it is, mm-hmm, in terms of how many different things they do well. And, Logan and I have said on Take Command the last couple of weeks, like, oh, this is the hardest test Jaden will have faced yet, because Arizona does some good things defensively. Obviously, look what they did yesterday. They went out and beat San Francisco yesterday, who had put up 30-something the week before. Every week, it's like, oh, this is the challenges. This is where it could get tough. These are the things. And then by about the third drive in the game, Jaden's just like, yeah, all right, I got this one. Next, like, mm-hmm, how many touchdowns do I have to score till this thing's over?
Mm-hmm. And just his rushing just seems so effortless. And like, if they're going to try to pressure him, like on a third and short or fourth and short, he's just going to tuck it himself. And I think he's got 22 first downs rushing the ball. I'll double check that stat. But it's impactful rushing. And I mean, he's going to rush. If he stays upright, what do you think? 900 yards?
Like, oh, he'll be. Yeah.
Like, he's on that sort of pace.
At least. He might be a 1,000-yard rusher this year.
Yeah.
I mean, I had the team PR team looking up a couple of things for me yesterday, just in case the stats came. And one of them, I was like, when was the last time a Washington quarterback rushed for 100 yards in a game? And there's actually only been one in franchise history, Robert versus Minnesota in 2012, which, of course, everybody remembers. And you got so much of that yardage on that one run where the dudes run into each other. So that's the only 100-yard game in Commanders history by a quarterback. And that feels like a very much yet stat. It's almost like how many is he going to get this year? His rushing, I think you're so right, is such an impactful thing because it's hard to get first downs, and especially hard to get first downs on third and long. And he's gotten a couple on third and long this year. And it makes the things that teams want to do in certain situations impossible. In third down situations, third and longs especially, most teams want to play man coverage and then blitz. And if you do that and you don't get home, well, now you've got guys, defensive backs who are not looking at the quarterback because they're in man-to-man coverage. They're watching the guy that they're covering. And you now have defenders who have taken themselves out of the play because they've run past Jaden. And now he's in space. And that is, it makes it where it's just not all right, it's third and seven, he ran for eight. It's like, it's third and seven and he ran for 23. And that completely changes field position. It completely is demoralizing to a defense. It's tiring for a defense. And that then, because they're chasing him everywhere, and then you compound it with, okay, he's fine. Let's get back to the line of scrimmage and get in this hurry up and keep going. And so the way they wear teams down is really, without wearing themselves down, by the way, is really, really impressive. And obviously Kliff has taken his play calling to a new level to enhance that. But some of this is just purely physical. If they are wearing teams out, and his running is a huge part of that.
Yeah, and the offensive line, we questioned before the season started because there was a couple guys, new guys that we really didn't know who they were, we weren't familiar with, and then they drafted somebody.
Don't lie, Lurch. It's the guys that were staying that you were much more worried about.
Yeah, well, that's true. But, you know, the offensive line has been awesome.
Yeah.
Especially in the run game.
They have. They've done a really – Kliff, I think it's funny because, like, if you know, you know, type of thing.
He's a genius, offensive genius.
Well, I was going to say, in Arizona, people were like, oh, air raid this. You know, his college offense didn't work. And it's like, well, the one thing he did really well in Arizona was run the football. Like, yes. James Conner had a 1,300-yard season.
Yeah.
And then you add
James Conner had 17 touchdowns one of those years.
Yeah, he's really, really sharp in the run game. And I was listening to, I think it was Ben Solak on Mita Kimes' show last week, and he made a really great point about – you know, you have, in the air raid, right? Mostly it's what we call 10 personnel, four wide receivers, no running or one running back, no tight ends. And instead of having what he has now, where he's got three tight ends on the field all the time, you have to figure out how to get these college 165-pound receivers to block in the run game. And so you have to really think hard schematically about it. And then he got to the NFL and he tried some of that stuff. It didn't really work. He shifted his run game. He started using different personnel groupings, and he's taken that to a whole new level here. And that'll get back to the O-line point in a second. But, like, because he's had to think in detail about that, you see some of that come out in the way they design this run game in terms of certain pullers and getting guys in certain spaces. And so you add that with this particular offensive line, which is filled with terrific athletes. Sam Cosmi gets out in space and moves. Andrew Wiley, not great in a phone booth, blocking one-on-one pass protection, can't get out, run, and smoke people. And so they do a really good job of putting them in good positions, using their strengths, protecting them, you know, in terms of their weaknesses. They use chip help on some of these third down situations where Jaden is going to have to drop back and pass in true drop back. And just the variety in play calling also matters a lot. Like, it really is. You know, Bobby Johnson's done a great job. These guys deserve a ton of credit for the work they put in and the cohesiveness. But I tried to tell people last year, the offensive line issues were so quarterback and play calling influenced. And people were just like, oh, they suck. And I'm like, I get it. You're just watching your quarterback get killed, and it's not very fun. But I promise you, one day you're going to understand that it's a lot more play calling and quarterback driven. And Jaden gets the ball out quickly, and Kliff doesn't put them in true dropback situations. It slows the pass rush. And then you add the tempo factor, and defensive linemen are on the field longer than they want to be, and they're just tired. And all of a sudden, your offensive line looks great. And I'm like, well, remember that thing that I said that eventually you'd understand? I hope you get it now.
Craig, Austin Ekeler, what an awesome signing so far. 30 touches through four games for 301 yards. Even my feeble brain can compute that's 10 yards per touch between his receiving and his rushing. Like, he's been super impactful, and hopefully, you know, like the managed touches for him, especially coming off the concussion, that continues to be a thing. But, I mean, they have to get the ball in his hands as many times as possible without risking injury. I know it's threading the needle, but he's been awesome so far.
He has, and it's, you know, it's kind of funny. You watch him, and I feel like you can see it a little bit more in person, but you can tell on TV. Like, the angles he runs at are so special because he's so low to the ground. He can just kind of, like, shift himself into spaces. And when you think about what his issue was last year, he had an ankle injury. And it's like, well, yeah, if he couldn't really bend and his ankle mobility sucked because his ankle was hurt, it would make sense that the little guy who squeezes through tight spaces and then bursts out of them probably won't be quite as effective. And so now he's healthy. He was healthy going into the offseason, healthy coming into this year. You know, his lower body has stayed healthy. Obviously, hope that the concussion and everything is fine with that. But it has allowed him to be the explosive, like, squirmy type of player that just finds space. And, you know, the league now is so much about explosive plays and how do you generate them. And when you can hand the ball to a guy or get a screen pass to a guy and have him generate an explosive play without having to drop your quarterback back, expose him to big hits, and make him make an accurate throw 30 yards down the field, that's a major, major improvement for the offense. I mean, for all the talk about Jaden's accuracy over the first couple of games, and there's a huge drop off yesterday, and we're not talking about it at all because they still put up 34 points in three plus quarters. Why? Because they found explosive plays in other ways. And some of that was, you know, the screenplay to Austin, the run by Austin. And those explosive plays are how you score in this league. And he has been as big of a factor in those as anybody not named Jaden Daniels this year.
Talking to Craig Hoffman, host of the Craig Hoffman Show on the Team 980. So we put up our Junkies poll of the day, presented by Scotty's Vodka, Maryland made, super smooth, love throughout the DMV. I'll ask you the question. Do you trust the defense yet?
You'd have to define what trust is, which I realize is not how poll questions work. And that's a silly nuance thing that I always want. I'll say this. I actually feel like they played pretty consistently the last 3 weeks. So in that way, yes, I do think they're getting better. I would answer the poll question, yes. I think they're getting better. I also think they actually played fairly consistently the last 3 weeks. The difference is the offenses that they played. Mm-hmm. You play Cincinnati with Joe Burrow, a top five quarterback who gets the ball out quickly, and Ja'Marr Chase, a top five receiver who, as he showed again yesterday, can score from literally anywhere on the field against anyone at any time. And you still give up 33 points, but there were signs in that tape that you're like, oh, they're starting to figure some things out. It gets ruined by what I just talked about with Austin, like explosive plays ruin games for defenses. Well, they still gave up explosive plays and they were to Ja'Marr Chase, and that's Ja'Marr Chase being Ja'Marr Chase. You go up against a not nearly as good offense in Arizona with a quarterback who had a kind of a rough day, inspired by the Commanders defense and what they did to him. Marvin Harrison is not nearly as polished as Chase, and they give up 14. They then go up against the worst offense in the league. Like that Cleveland Browns offense is an absolute like affront to NFL football. And they did thoroughly dominate, and outside of a late score, it would have held them to 6 points. Like, that is the consistency with which they have performed has been there multiple weeks in a row. If anything, they've gotten better over those 3 weeks. And then the results in terms of how many points they've given up has been directly correlated with how good or bad the offense they're playing is. And so if we can count on them to put in this kind of performance, like, against most teams, you're probably giving up 14 to 21, and like, you can win a lot of football games that way, especially when your offense is scoring 30 every week.
Well, Cleveland will be drafting a quarterback in the first round. And I would just either cut Deshaun or start the rookie over Deshaun. That's what I would do.
Yeah, the dead money on that contract. There's only two years left.
They only have to suffer it for two more years. But
yeah, we're talking like the Russell Wilson cap hit that the Broncos are taking this year is not even. Like, it's some lower than it should be percentage of what they would eat with Watson. I'm not saying I wouldn't do it either. Like,
they have to pay him. He sucks. He literally sucks.
But, like, the problem there is the ownership doesn't want. Like, I think Stefanski didn't bench him yesterday to make a point. Because there's no other, like, what competent football coach is keeping Watson out there? Like, especially in the first half, like, they're in that game. How do you not come out at halftime and be like, all right, we're going with Jameis Winston?
I know.
But, like, also, if I was in the front office in that team, I would be calling the NFL every day, like, hey, these fresh lawsuits, you think maybe we want to look into them and suspend him and see if we can maybe fire this guy for cause?
Oh, like, they would love that.
The details in those things are horrific. Like, that guy sucks so much, and they're just like trotting him out there every week, and the NFL's like, yeah, go ahead, trot him out there every week. And if it seems like the obvious thing for everybody but Deshaun Watson would be to figure out a way to void that contract because he's a terrible person, and they're just trotting him out there every week. NFL, baby. That's how they do it.
Oh, yeah.
He's painful to watch. I mean, it's just like.
I did enjoy him getting absolutely crushed multiple times.
That was fun to watch.
It looks like when he throws a bad pass. I mean, I saw it on Amari Cooper's face a couple of times. It's like they're just giving up on him.
Yeah. I mean, I've talked to
guys. There's no way they're supporting him.
Right.
I don't think so.
You know, taking the personal, like, off-field stuff aside for a second. Like, I've talked to guys here through bad quarterback play, and they just kind of give you the, like, hey, man, we're just hoping it clicks for him. Because, like, if you're in the NFL, you're good. And obviously Watson, when he was his last year in Houston before everything went sideways, like, he was a top five quarterback in the league. Like, he was really, really good. And so what you're just hoping for as you prepare yourself for the week, if you're a receiver or an O-lineman or someone else on that offense, is that he has a week where it all comes together. And then, you know, you get a couple of passes in the dirt fairly early on, and you're like, oh, no, this is what we're doing again? Because these guys work so hard, it hurts to play NFL football, and you're going out there knowing you don't have a shot. And that is just so intensely demoralizing. So I do not envy the other people in that locker room. I'll put it that way.
How do you feel about the Ravens game?
I feel like it should be competitive. I mean, I do think this offense can continue to score. Obviously, Baltimore, like Derrick Henry could run for 200 yards. The one thing that Washington still needs to really figure out defensively is certain run plays that with pullers, like when you have an offensive lineman that doesn't just block straight forward, but loops around the line and leads a back. And Cleveland didn't run one until the third quarter yesterday, and it was a 35-yard gain on the first time they actually ran it, which tells you also how bad Stefanski's doing as a play caller. But, like, Baltimore ain't going to wait till the third quarter, and the dude running behind those big offensive linemen that are pulling is Derrick Henry. So there is a chance that Derrick Henry ruins this game for Washington, but I also think that Washington can score, so they'll come right back. So in some level, I expect a shootout. Like, the lean would be shootout a la Cincinnati, Baltimore yesterday. Of course, that means it'll wind up being like an 18-17 game because that's how the NFL works.
See you off. Have a great show today.
Thank you, boys. Have a good one. And good luck, Drab.
Yeah, he's going to need it.
Check out the Craig Hoffman Show on the Team 980. Drab, it's got about 22 minutes until he has to kiss the toilet.
I might be working up a modest.
Oh, really? You got something great brewing over there?
I mean, my tummy is just...
Have you been eating garbage, or are you just drinking a ton of coffee?
Just the coffee.
Yeah.
Valdez worries me how much he's into it. He's got like such a perverse pleasure in this.
Stumper and Valdez, big time into duty.
Yeah. Well, yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I duty as a human.
I mean, you're king duty.
I find duty humor somewhat hilarious.
Yeah, you've never mailed it like Stumper?
Yeah, I don't think I quite have the same infatuation. Like, I think Valdez really thinks about duties a lot. He just seems to.
Someone's projecting.
Phone number's 800-636-1067. You want to chime in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines here on the Junkies.